two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective, oh. Did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatolydibop, shabadooey, you revel in hilarity, it's pork therapy.
And away we go.
Oh, that was beautiful, Mike.
Hey, welcome to Pork Therapy.
Hello. Yes, welcome to Pork Therapy. We're glad to have you joining us again.
And we are Mike.
And Stephanie. Ta-da-da. And we're on the love seat once again.
The original love seat.
Surprise, surprise. Same place we go every time we record Pork Therapy. So, Mike, how's it going?
I'm doing well.
That's good.
How are you doing?
Awesome.
Oh, even better.
Very nice. I'm having a real fun time.
Not a fake fun time.
No, a real one.
A real extremely fun time.
Yeah. We just recorded... We do these, like, marathon recording sessions sometimes. We just recorded an awesome show about the abusive boss. And now it's time for a...
Listener feedback!
Wow, that was impressive, Mike. I think you should do some
What a great special
work.
Effect.
Yeah, that was awesome. No kidding. Yes, I was going to say now it's time for a more varied show because our last show actually had one topic. And, you know, we're, like, famous for going on tangents.
Yeah.
We always go on tangents, but...
That reminds me of a story.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Well... good one. But, yeah, even though we go on tangents, we pretend at least that we have one topic for each show. But this show is going to have
Not even going to pretend.
No, we're not. We're not even going to put on airs this time. We're not going to.
If we're lucky, we'll have six topics this show.
Wow, that would be quite amazing.
So let's get to it.
Yes, let's start it out, Mike. By the way, this is a listener feedback show, and if you want to give us some feedback, you can email us questions@porktherapy.com, or
if you're really adamant and passionate about your position,
you can email us individually. You can email if you have a question for Mike, like somebody actually had a question for Mike on this episode. We used to solicit date requests from Mike, but I think Mike
That's old
has,
hat.
Yeah, that, you know, it was like a little bit mean spirited. I don't think Mike really enjoyed that too much.
That was funny.
It kind of seemed like I was making fun of him. So we kind of stopped that practice because I want to be respectful of you, Mike. I appreciate you being my co-host, and I don't want to solicit dates if that's not what you want. So, but we can still give out your email. It's mike@porktherapy.com, and mine is stephanie@porktherapy.com. And when will this little frog jump out of my throat? I'm kind of...
I don't want to be there when it does.
Yeah, neither do I. I hope it doesn't jump out and strangle me, right? Have you seen that poster about, like... It's one of those, like, motivational posters about never give up, right?
With a frog? Oh, frog With dangling frog or a cat, like, dangling or something?
No, I'm thinking it's like, it's got like a bird that's eating a frog, and the frog has its arms like strangling the bird's neck as the half of the frog is in the bird's mouth.
Wow.
That was kind of weird. Like, I don't know.
Hey, what do you know? A tangent.
It was kind of a violent metaphor. What I'm trying to say is that, I recently just got over having a cold, and this little frog is, like, sticking with me, and it's a little bit frustrating because I pride myself on having a pleasant-sounding voice, and it's just kind of messing it all up.
So. Now you have a pleasant-sounding frog.
Yes, and now I'm about to do a very unpleasant-sounding cough so I can get him out.
That's pleasant.
Maybe we can edit that out. We never edit, but you know what? So. That actually seemed to make a difference.
Good. Yay.
Yay.
The frog, you swallowed your frog.
Yes. Now we can finally get back onto one of our multiple topics.
We can probably finally start the show.
Oh, yeah. Go to porktherapy.com, right?
Yes,
did we even
please.
Say that?
No.
We can set all of our email addresses.
So on porktherapy.com, you can not only hear all of our past shows, but you can hear show number 68, which was Say No to Fruity Babies.
Yes, and the one first, of my personal favorites.
The first bit of listener feedback is from Teresa about that show.
Yeah.
And she said, I just finished listening to it and I have a few comments.
Well, okay, we should summarize. This was a show where I basically ranted about one of my pet peeves, which is that people who dress their babies up like strawberries or pea pods or sunshine or daisies.
Hitler or a stripper.
Hitler! Well, there actually, we did get a submission of a baby dressed up like Hitler and a baby dressed up like a stripper.
Yep.
And that's like, that's twice as bad, but it's bad enough when they dress him up like a strawberry and it's totally humiliating to the baby and the baby
might
not want...
It's not, but go ahead and listen to the show to find out.
Mike disagrees. But anyway, so Teresa comes down on this issue.
So she says...
On my side, I think.
Oh. She says, I agree with Mike that it's not possible to know what a baby would think in the future about being dressed up in a costume. I also agree that a baby is too young to have any responsibility or shame or pride for what's happening to her. However, when it's not possible to make a reasonable guess about what a person would want, it's important to err on the side of non-intervention. So,
yeah.
What does non-intervention mean here?
Non-intervention means just doing, not doing something that will change things. I think what she means is, if you're,
well, that's
normally
not, that's,
don't dress
no.
a baby up.
Like, I think that's an absurd comment, because...
What about circumcision? I think that definitely applies in that
situation.
Oh,
is that what you mean by intervention? That's physical.
Yeah. Right, so is dressing a baby up in a costume.
No, it's not. Okay, it's physical. In that case, everything is physical, including the thoughts in your head. They're chemicals. But but a circumcision is not reversible. A costume is.
But the memory and the trauma.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we said in the episode. There is no memory. There is no trauma. There is no shame.
That's
as
what
she
people
admitted.
Say about circumcision. They say
and,
that's
and if,
why you
and
have
if
to
you
do
don't
it young
know,
so
my
don't
point,
remember it.
My point was, she says, if you can't guess what a person would want... Err on the side of non-intervention, which I really don't understand non-intervention.
Don't intervene. Don't change that person's
okay, well,
life.
Okay, well, you know what? You can't possibly know what a baby would want, period, except to eat. So does that mean you shouldn't do anything else to interfere in its life? Should you not buy its clothes because you don't know if it would want blue or green? Obviously, this is the exact same issue. It's just drawn the line somewhere else.
Okay, well, clothes
you know what?
Blue or
someone,
green?
You know what? A baby might have the fear of green. And you cannot possibly know that at that point, can you?
Yes, that's true, Mike, but it's...
And you know what? Here's two of us, and 50-50, one of us would be humiliated with being a strawberry as a baby, and one of us wouldn't. So that's a ridiculous sample size, but maybe it's not acceptable to say a baby might be humiliated by being dressed up as a fairy. Well, maybe they wouldn't.
You know, I just... Okay, I hear what you're saying, Mike. I understand where you're coming from, that you just don't know, and you think that this is an act that probably won't cause harm. But I just think that, like, dressing people up in costumes is something that is done in society to demoralize.
Oh, like, really? What about Halloween? What about masquerade balls?
Okay, they can choose the costumes, and often, I have a whole thought about Halloween, but maybe we'll get
okay.
into that later. I think people use it as an excuse to, like,
yes.
act out their wildest fantasies,
yeah.
but anyway, that's off topic. In jail, they strip you of your normal clothes, and they give you an orange jumpsuit. In schools where they're really
some
like
uniforms.
Strict, they give you a school uniform and they
mm-hmm.
make you in the military, you have to wear a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of taking away a person's individuality and basically demoralizing
them.
Does
a parent take away her child's individuality when she buys them quote normal unquote clothes?
No, but just dressing someone up for the purpose of making a spectacle of them.
Why?
They're dressing the baby up for the purpose of taking pictures of it and for the purpose of...
Okay.
Showing it off. I just think it's
showing it off.
It just doesn't seem like the right way to treat another person.
Okay.
And I think Teresa agrees with me.
Okay.
So.
She says, Teresa says, also, Mike said something in this episode about financial independence as a criterion for whether Stephanie was a sovereign individual when her dad showed an embarrassing video of her to her date. I disagree. I believe all individuals are sovereign, no matter what age. Newborns are not capable of making decisions yet, but that doesn't mean they're not already individuals whose self-ownership should be respected. All in all, I firmly agree with Stephanie and her very similar statements in this episode. So, I don't quite agree with this either. I mean, I totally agree that all people are sovereign individuals, including babies,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and when someone is a baby and can't communicate or even think yet,
mm-hmm.
and or a child and they can't take care of themselves yet and haven't declared sovereignty, they are under the
authoritarian rule of their parents.
Yes, but I was going to say, what role does a parent take on? I forgot the term
the
for
stewardship
it.
Stewardship.
Yeah, the stewardship
ward.
Of their parents, the care of their parents, and so
And to be a good steward is something that's defined individually, but I think for me, like, that wouldn't be being, that would not be treating my child with respect if I did that.
Okay, and for me?
It would.
Or perhaps, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly contextual and subjective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the universal thing that says someone who dresses their kid as a strawberry is abusing their child. I don't get that.
I don't think I said it was abuse.
Well,
but...
psychologically.
Yeah, it's not right.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to discuss it again. You guys can listen to episode 68 because we have a long blog post to read by Teresa. Well, not long. A short blog post to read by Teresa on the topic.
Well, to be fair, Mike, you did say...
See, I just don't get that, because if a baby... If you're going to respect their self-ownership, then let them dress themselves. Why not sit them down in a store and see what clothes they point to?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. You are the parent. You are putting food in their mouth. You are putting clothes on their body. You're paying to heat the room to a certain degree that you think they're going to like. You chose a carpet that is perhaps not soft enough. Everything you do is your decision, not theirs. And... I agree with you that if you're dressing someone as a baby with the intent to embarrass them, that's bad. But if you're dressing someone as a, if you're dressing your baby as a strawberry just because you think it's cute or funny, or you think they might get a laugh out of it when they're 16 or whatever, then that's not harmful. Or let me take that back. It's not the intent to harm. It may harm and you don't know because the baby can't communicate.
Okay, well, I agree that it may not be the intent to harm. But, what do you think about the sentiment that you're doing that as a parent for yourself, not for the baby? Like,
it
with
could
all those
be,
other,
that's what I mean.
With all those other things, like you're dressing, you're putting clothes on the baby and you're buying a soft carpet and you're heating the room because you think that's what the kid would want. But you're dressing the kid as a strawberry because you think it's cute. You don't care what they think of it.
No,
you want to
no,
get
no.
some...
No, you, it's not that you don't care what they think of it. They cannot think of it. They do not know what a strawberry is.
They will think
They do
of
not
it.
Know that it's color that it's called red. They do not know.
Oh, I finally remembered what I was going to say. This is one thing to your credit, Mike. You did say in that episode, and I remember this, that if you had a kid and you dressed it up like a strawberry and you're going to take some pictures of it,
right,
and all of a sudden the kid started crying and ripping off the costume, you would take it off and stop. And
yeah.
that's fine with me. That's good.
Or I'd shove a napkin in his mouth.
Oh, no,
I'm kidding,
Mike.
Of course.
Somebody give Mike a vasectomy so he can't have any kids and do that to them.
So Teresa said...
Teresa, by the way, who blogs at libertysnippet.com, she has an awesome blog post about this very
and
topic.
She said, I have a blog post about her parenting philosophy last fall that has to do with this, and so we're going to read that.
Sure, yeah.
I have two daughters, and people who meet us together often ask me for parenting advice. Whether these people are libertarian friends or whether they're strangers admiring my daughter's behavior on a plane, my answer invariably boils down to this. Remember that each child is a person.
Words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always easy. Sometimes I've had to take actions to keep my kids safe and or keep store owners from throwing us out, and these actions have occasionally caused disappointment. I've made a habit of involving my kids in the decisions that affect them, even when they were very young and even when I was tempted to say, just do it, or because I said so. I've taken responsibility for my actions, especially when I've made mistakes. I strive to keep my actions consistent with my words, and I feel blessed that my kids have decided to follow my example and have learned to trust me. I feel very blessed that my husband shares my parenting philosophy and partners with me every day in raising our kids. Kids look to parents to answer questions, and they can ask a lot of questions, from the trivial to the profound. One of my daughters asked me if we believe in God. Interesting, if we believe in God. I replied by asking her what she believed.
Oh, good
fantastic.
Answer. Yeah, good answer.
We had a fantastic conversation. My kids think critically about what they learn and come to their own conclusions. Occasionally, I get into arguments with my 11-year-old, who currently believes some form of government is necessary to enforce the laws she holds dear. An 11-year-old. And my 12-year-old isn't interested in discussing government or politics because she thinks it's boring. Part of raising kids to think for themselves is accepting their opinions and what they, and when they disagree with me, and trusting that we're all capable of learning and evolving through open discussion. We all respect each other's opinions, or lack thereof, even though we currently disagree about the substance and or importance of some beliefs. I've learned that respecting my daughters as individuals means that the golden rule doesn't always apply. When I was a kid, my mom tried to motivate me to lose weight by refusing to buy me clothes.
Oof.
The year I was 12, I owned only one pair of pants that fit me and bought those with money I'd earned with my paper route.
Aww.
I was determined.
That's so mean.
I was determined to be a different kind of mom and buy my kids all the clothes I never had growing up. But my daughters couldn't care less about clothes.
Huh.
When I see them dressed in old clothes and offer to take them shopping, they tell me, "Mom, clothes aren't important. It's who you are that's important, not your clothes." I laugh and have to agree with them.
That's awesome.
Well, so that's how she wrote it.
Yeah,
sometimes parents get into authoritarian power struggles with their kids over trivial issues out of fear from being judged. While I sympathize with the peer pressure we endure as parents, this type of fear is no excuse for forcing kids to do such things against their will. As mentioned above, my kids don't care much about their appearance, and this pertains to hair as well as clothes. They will usually brush their hair if I ask them to do so, but sometimes they refuse. This irks me, I admit, but it's not a big deal. If people want to judge me for having messy-haired kids and raggedy clothes, they're entitled to their opinion and all the tisks they choose to send my way. I'll be the one having a blast with my thoughtful, wonderful kids. And that sounds completely wonderful to me, but yeah. Nowhere in this blog post does she address children who can't think, let alone speak yet.
Well, they're still people.
They are people. They are sovereign individuals. I will give you that.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot know what they think, as she said all throughout this particular blog post.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different animal. And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying if you're right, at least acknowledge that a baby that cannot form concepts yet, or at least hasn't yet, is different from an 11-year-old or even a 3-year-old.
I still think just because the baby doesn't, can't have a concept of embarrassment or strawberries or whatever, doesn't give you the right to do whatever.
I didn't say it gives you the right.
Yeah.
I say I could be completely wrong. I have said that, but I'm not saying that now. I'm not saying it could be right or wrong. I'm saying there is a difference between everything she said in this blog post and a baby who can't think or speak or communicate or understand or feel shame or embarrassment.
As a matter of fact,
you know what? Maybe we should do a whole other show about this and talk about it from the other end. Why do you feel embarrassed about having been dressed in a strawberry outfit? Maybe that's the way we should attack this, because it's not embarrassing to wear clothing. I've worn a dress in public. Why is that embarrassing? You know what?
It's not embarrassing because you chose to wear that dress, you know?
Almost certainly this is very personal and subjective, but if you just picked some clothing that you thought would be incredibly embarrassing and mm-hmm. told and put it on me and brought me in public, I would not be embarrassed. Some people will, in fact, probably most. But don't you think they choose to be embarrassed? It's just clothing. In fact, as a thinking adult, if I somehow, if this could happen without force, without me binding your hands, mm-hmm. if I somehow put some clothing on you that is embarrassing and brought you out into public, why would you feel embarrassed instead of feeling all these strangers might be laughing at me, but I don't know them or care about them, and I didn't choose these clothes anyway. They're not really laughing at me. They're laughing at Mike. Why do you choose to be embarrassed? And I don't think we should talk about this, but it's just an interesting way to do it maybe on another show.
Why'd you bring it up?
because that's what the last comment kind of made me think of.
Yeah, in that instance that you brought out, there's still the concept of the parent doing something to the child that the child may or may not agree with or like for the purposes of gratifying the parent's own selfish interests and parading the kid around. Isn't he cute?
I completely agree that doing something to someone else for your own interest is not a happy thing, not a healthy thing.
No.
I don't think I've ever disagreed with that.
No,
but
I don't think so either.
I think my point was that you can't know. Now, she says you got to err on the side of non-intervention. I certainly don't like the way that's worded, because you intervene on a baby's life with every decision you make. So there's no way to non-intervene. But I think
by erring on the side of non-intervention, she means if you're faced with this choice, do I dress my baby up like a strawberry or not? The more non-interventionist choice would be to not dress the baby up like a strawberry.
Well, would you think that dressing a baby girl as a little princess would be the same caliber of demeaning?
I don't know. It kind of depends on
does it? Because some girls like being princesses?
Well, if the girl chooses to dress up as a princess...
No, I'm
that's
talking
fine.
About babies.
Okay, you're talking about babies. Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter what you dress them up like. I think it matters, why you're dressing them up.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So how about this? My brother, when he went on a bachelor party, I and some other friends went with him, mm-hmm. and we chose a really ridiculous outfit for him to wear. It was like a 70s rental tux with blue frills on the chest, or
uh-huh.
or a blue tux, a baby blue tux with white frills and pants that were too short,
uh-huh.
like floods and all. It just looked really silly, and he had to wear that for the evening. And the goal, I guess, was to embarrass him or, you know, laugh.
Why did he have to wear that?
He didn't have to. We weren't going to punch him if he didn't. We didn't force it onto him. Mm-hmm. But we said, hey, this is a game we're going to play. You're going to wear this outfit as we parade around town or, you know, whatever we were doing. And he said, okay, you guys dress me.
He agreed to it.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the difference?
Yeah,
okay.
The baby can't agree.
Or disagree.
Or disagree, yes. Right.
Okay.
I guess apparently
well, I'm very passionate about not...
Yeah, is this really what we want to spend our time on? Is this like the most important message that we want to put out? Anyway, I really like Teresa's blog post. I think she had words of wisdom.
Yeah, I also like her email to us addressing what I said. I completely agree that if a parent does something to a child for personal intent that could harm the child, or even psychologically, or doesn't care about the child's feelings, that's bad. Yep. But I guess my point all along is, man, you can't know this about a baby. And you know what? If you're going to err on the side of non-intervention, then you're going to have such an incredibly sterile and boring life until that baby can have some opinions. Really, you can't do anything. You can't eat exotic food because that might be embarrassing. I ate squid. She might be a vegetarian. You can't even eat meat. It's just anyway. So let's go on to our other next bit of listener feedback, shall
we? Okay, let's go on.
Okay.
Okay. So another listener wrote, are there any dating sites or groups that are geared towards activists, especially for people in Vermont? And there's a website called Let Me Google That For You, right?
Oh, that's right.
No, I'm just kidding. But that was all in good fun. There is actually a website called Let Me Google That For You. It's like when people post on a forum and there's a question that could easily be answered by Googling, somebody will post at bottom, Let Me Google That For You, and you can click a link and it'll actually show. Like,
it'll load a
Google,
website, yes, and it'll type in the question for you in front of your eyes.
Yes.
It's so passive aggressive and hilarious.
Yes. It is passive aggressive. We don't recommend that on this show, even though I just did it. But no. What I'm saying is that I actually question asker. I don't know of any dating sites or groups that are geared towards activists,
or towards...
especially for people in Vermont. However, there are some national ones that are. Sorry, I shouldn't say national. There's some that cover wider geographic areas that could contain people from Vermont. But really, the best way I would recommend for meeting people would be to just get out there and do, like, if you're a liberty activist, as you allude to in the question, just get out there and participate and do your activism and, like, put yourself out there on the internet, put your contact, you know, when you do projects, you know, you can give out your contact info or your website or something like that, some publicly available way to get in touch with you in case anyone sees it and thinks that you're interesting enough to get in touch with you and maybe start a relationship. And, I know that there used to be a website called Libertarian Singles or like Ron Paul Singles.
I've not heard of it.
I don't know. Not
I believe it.
Not everybody likes Ron Paul, but there's, you know, there was a website called Ron Paul Singles, at least there was. I kind of wonder how many women are on there, but it doesn't hurt to check it out. But, you know, I think it's a good idea to just get out there and, you know, do your normal activities, do the things that you already like and enjoy doing. And by doing that, you'll normally just meet people who have common interests. Do you agree, Mike?
I do completely agree. I wouldn't rule out dating services, but I don't think it's as effective as just going to do what you enjoy and meet other people.
Yeah.
A long time ago, we did an episode number 11 about meeting new people, and we talk about ways to do it. So you might want to go back and listen to that one.
Yeah, and I think if we were to distill that episode to its very essence, we probably would have just said, you know, get out there, be friendly, be outgoing, don't stand in the corner and frown, just
right.
Just put yourself out there and do the things that you normally like, and you'll naturally meet people who like you and get along with you.
Right.
What do you think of that advice, Mike?
I think it's great advice.
And also Google, you know, libertarian, anarchist, voluntarist, whatever, singles. But
and don't dress your dates up like a strawberry.
Yes, please don't do that.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to the next.
Yeah, do you
want to
read
feedback?
This one or me?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Okay, so we got an email. We apologize for taking so long to get back to this one, but it seems that we got a flood
of
listener feedback right after our last listener feedback show, so.
Yeah.
So
I don't apologize for taking a long time to get to this one, by the way. It's a personal question, and I'll answer it, but it's totally irrelevant to everything, but I'll answer it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I feel a little weird about it taking so long to answer some of these questions because
you mean to get back to them?
Yeah, it was very coincidental in that. That we had literally just recorded a listener feedback episode, and then we got like three or four listener feedbacks and things that we wanted to do on the next listener feedback episode. So that's why it took us so long.
Sorry about that. I misunderstood.
Anyway, so
this one says,
okay, so this says Stephanie mentions in it. So the subject line was probably referring to a specific episode. I think it was the episode about reasons not to hit your kids, which was, I don't know what number, but you can go on.
I'll look it up in a minute.
Okay. So the comment says, Stephanie mentions in this episode that Mike doesn't like, Stefan Molyneux's show. And I'm curious as to why not. I mean, it seems like Mike would have a lot in common with him. Atheism, libertarianism, pro-good parenting, pro-therapy, etc. So, Mike, why is it that you don't like his show? Mike?
Well, first of all, he says, doesn't like... Oh, no, he says it twice, okay. I don't listen to his show, so I don't know if I don't like his show. I can tell you that Stefan is very, 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 very long-winded. I listen to five...
Oh, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Yeah. We are, like, the most long-winded.
Well, I didn't say I liked our show either.
I hope you like our show. I like it.
And then this listener says, it seems Mike would have a lot in common with Stefan. This, 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 and this. And I'm not even going to think about those. If I have those in common with him, great, or not. It doesn't mean I have to like someone. You know, there's so many variables to whether you like someone.
I have a personal issue
with Stefan. I'm not saying that his thinking isn't good, especially about atheism. Anarchism. I'm voluntarism. I'm just saying I do not like him as a person. So continue listening to him if you enjoy him. I don't know. It's amazing to me how many people have asked me why I don't like Stefan because it seems so irrelevant, you know? So I don't like a person. So what? You can like him. You can listen to him. You can. He can still say good things. That's great. It just amazes me that it's so important to so many people that I like this, you know, relatively famous guy.
Well, you know, I think people tend to get a little evangelical about his stuff because, like, I do listen to his show and I enjoy it, and I'm actually reading one of his books right now, Real Time Relationships, and I've been really enjoying it. And like, I've never met him in person or anything, but I do like some of the things that he has to say on his show for sure.
Ironic, because I have met him and I don't like some of the things he has to say.
Okay.
No, well, but I agree that he has a lot of good thoughts as well.
Yeah.
I just don't want to hear him. I'll hear good thoughts from other people, and so I don't have to put up with a person I don't like.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, if you know, it's voluntary association, right, Mike?
Absolutely.
You know, you can choose not to associate with someone or not to listen to someone's show. Like, heck, you know, listening to someone's podcast is something that you might invest a lot of time and energy in.
Especially
and so
his.
If you really don't enjoy it, like, why should you do something that you don't enjoy simply because everybody thinks that you should or whatever?
And to this listener's credit, he just said I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah,
so he didn't push the issue or say it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
But I just get asked so often, I just took it that way.
Yeah, and for the record, like, I don't want it to make to seem like, you know, Pork Therapy is against Free Domain Radio. Like, I
no, that's just me.
I definitely do like the show, so
I definitely
there's
do,
a difference
do
in...
not like Stefan. So the next bit of personal feedback. Oh, I guess this one isn't personal. Okay, on our...
It's about one of our shows, so...
on episode 79, where cops don't solve interpersonal problems, this was about, they called... A woman called the cops on her neighbor because her neighbor filmed her child swearing and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, and the neighbor kind of, like... paid the kid $1
to do
this performance of swears.
And so the woman went to the cops instead of communicating with the neighbor or resolving it or herself or anything. So the listener says, "Hi, this was my first show. Interesting topic. And I appreciated your point of view. Made me reflect on some of my actions of the past and calling the police unnecessarily. However, in this example of the swearing child, you need to account for the relationship of the adults involved. Do the parents know the neighbor? Has the neighbor paid the child for anything else to be filmed? I'd be concerned if they were a predator of some sort and see this as appropriate to call the police. But it depends on what the relationship is with the adults involved. So,
So basically he's suggesting that perhaps the neighbor might be some kind of, there might be some kind of overtone to this. Like the neighbor was maybe a sexual predator or he was trying to, I don't know, coerce the the kid into doing other things besides swearing. And I don't think that wasn't the impression that I got from the news story that this was based on. And, you know, obviously it would be a different situation if the kid was trying to be coerced into doing something other than just swearing. But that wasn't the case here, right, Mike?
I don't think that was the case either. That was my interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But I
and
also...
the parents did know the neighbor. The question asker also asked, did the parents know the neighbor? Like, the parent of the kid that was on film swearing, did he know the neighbor? And yes, he did know the next-door neighbor.
And
so,
also, if you knew for a fact, or even thought, that this person was a predator of some sort, the listener here says, I see this as appropriate to call the police. And I would suggest that...
Well, maybe you should keep your kid away from him
teach
your kid how to deal with predators.
I would urge you to consider nonviolent ways to resolve this issue. Because...
Right. Like, educate the kid.
Educate the kid.
That was one thing that we talked about in that episode.
Put up some security devices around your home. Mm-hmm. Let the neighbors know that you think this is going on so all of them are watching out, or all of them can at least tell stories and share and help you agree that he is a predator, or no, he definitely isn't. You're misinterpreted.
Right.
Communicate. Talk. Protect yourself.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I mean, this question kind of brought up the fact that, like, this society is just so... I mean, obviously, nobody wants children to fall victim to sexual predators, but most sexual abuse of children happens with people that are in their family. You know, like, usually it's an uncle, step-parent, something like that.
Or a friend of the family who's a godparent or whatever.
Right. And I guess the neighbor could have possibly fit that description in this scenario, but I didn't get that impression at all. And to make everything out to be like, well, maybe it's some kind of kiddie, you know, like... He's touching kids inappropriately. Maybe if you make everything out to be about that, that's not always the case, and it can lead to overreactions, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like people are so hyper-vigilant about predatory people and children that they blow situations out of proportion and they overreact, and maybe that's not actually what's going on.
Right.
So,
and if you're going to call the police, which is instigating violence... When police come, there is violence. Period.
Yeah.
And if you're going to instigate violence, you better know something for a fact. And you better, and that fact better warrant violence. Because that's a horrific thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of something that I was also thinking of is, I mean, just be aware that, like, if you're going to accuse someone of being a child molester or something along those lines, that's a pretty heavy accusation. And even just the accusation can really ruin someone's life.
And you know what else?
When they get investigated by the police, and the police call their boss.
Even if they're
eventually
found...
Even if it's not true.
Yeah, even if they're eventually found not true in this justice system, everyone in the neighborhood and all their associates and their bosses have heard that they've been accused of child molestation.
Yeah.
That doesn't go away quickly.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there's really no evidence in this case that was what was happening. And so to bring that accusation on someone just to, like, be safe or to be on the safe side is... overkill, in my opinion, right, Mike?
Yeah, and harmful.
And harmful, yeah. So, anyway, just be aware of that. So, that's our take on... Okay, and our last piece of feedback, right, Mike?
Yes. What one to end on.
Oh, what a great... We like to go out on a positive note, but we got a pretty negative piece of feedback. To give a little bit of background, we had an awesome podcast a little while back with...
very little while back.
Yeah, just about two shows ago, or three or four by the time this
airs. It was like 81 or 82.
With Brett Vinat from School Sucks podcast, and we had a very nice discussion with him about how the subtle lessons learned in government schools affect our relationships as adults negatively.
Yeah.
And so, to put it nicely, Brett's podcast... probably has quite a bit bigger audience than ours, although ours is growing for sure.
Where's the probably come from? It's like orders of magnitude larger.
It's probably about one order of magnitude
at least.
He said he has something like over 1 million downloads in the past year or something like that, and I don't think we're even touching that, so Anyway, so we were on his show and he was on our show, and we both released them on the same show on our feeds, respectively. And so I think we got some new people visiting our website because of his podcast. And so we got a comment on one of our old episodes, like back in episode 50. We're
54.
Now on like 85 or something.
Yeah.
And this was back on episode 54. And the comment says, you want to read it, Mike?
Yeah. Brett's podcasts are better. One gem, sharing a hotel room, and half an hour of listening. Time to gem ratio, fail. Can you too long don't read a podcast? Oh, and how could someone not involved in dating have advice on the subject? So this listener.
Okay, first of all, let's say we do appreciate the feedback, and
I don't
appreciate it. Not everybody is going
to
like our show.
His point was to be insulting, and he had nothing constructive to say. I don't appreciate it.
I think he kind of did have a little bit of constructive criticism in there. I mean, he didn't say it constructively, but we can take it as constructive criticism in that he's saying...
Time to gem ratio? Is that the constructive part?
Yes. He's saying that he felt that the podcast was full of fluff and that there was only one important thing in a lot of talking. Which, you know, I could consider that a legitimate criticism, sure.
Well, have you listened to that show? Is it true?
I don't know, but I could see how, just from
our
other shows.
Certainly a lot of our shows are like that.
Yeah, certainly. But, you know, some people enjoy, entertainment,
yeah,
right? There's a value in that, too.
So what I get out of this, or the part that I enjoy about this, is that this person hated our show. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, he didn't like the show, but he spent the whole time, but he listened to the whole thing.
He listened to the whole thing.
And then he also left a comment.
And then he also
blog.
Bothered to spend time to comment, but not, hey, I like your show. I'd like it to improve. So please do this.
Yeah.
It was, you guys are jerks. So he bothered to write that.
Well, the first thing was comparing us to Brett, which is like, I mean,
that was so out of the blue because
yes,
this show was 50 shows. This like a half a year before we even did a show with Brett.
Yeah.
So, and that's another thing.
Brett is awesome. Like, we love his podcast, but our podcasts are different, you know?
Yes.
They're just, each one is unique. So.
And also, our style back in 50 was different than our style now.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've changed.
And also, this person, I'm just assuming it's a guy, I don't know why, this person listened to our show with Brett, probably on Brett's feed, then said, I'm going to go check out Pork Therapy.
Yep.
And did they just pick a show at random? Did they pick a show because of the title? Did they listen to many shows? Because this show is half a year ago. They had to actually search to find it because it's not on our front page.
Or maybe they clicked on the tags and they...
Okay,
you know,
could be,
on the cloud of...
So then he listened to a half hour show and they said... They said essentially, you guys suck. And then his last comment was, oh, how could someone not involved in dating have advice on the subject? Now, I don't remember
in this episode...
Yeah, I don't remember if in this episode...
I assume he was referring to me because in that episode, like, it's kind of funny. Mike and I role-played... We role-played...
Oh.
You remember this, Mike?
No, but now I do, but maybe that's where he thought... Maybe he just listened to the role-playing part and thought that was what we're talking about?
Maybe, I don't know, but it was pretty funny. Like, Mike and I did several ridiculous scenarios and we tried to role-play back and forth what it would be like to basically hit on somebody, like a guy hitting on a girl, but I was the guy and Mike was the girl. Just to be ridiculous, and so... So, I don't know, maybe he misinterpreted that as like, oh, well, Stephanie's never going to be picking up girls, so how could she know about that? And
who knows what he's thinking, because we're... Okay, but he also said, how could someone not involved in dating have advice on the subject? Well, maybe that person who's not involved in dating used to be involved in dating. Or maybe they know someone who's involved in dating.
Or maybe they've read about it.
Or maybe they've heard of dating and they can form a concept in their head. I don't even get what this guy's saying.
I don't know. I'm not very constructive, but anyway, I think I'm done talking
about
funny. This one.
Okay.
It was just, I don't know,
it was
kind of amusing.
It was very amusing.
That he took the time to,
to say something
blast us,
rude and nonsensical.
And on that note, do we have any more of this listener feedback?
We don't at the moment that we're going to put on
I'm
the podcast.
Sure
thank
as
you for your feedback
click the
for
stop
everyone
button.
Except for that last one.
No, I'm going to thank the last one, too, because
them.
even though they didn't go about it in the nicest way, I can still find something in that to improve upon and to make the show better. I'm going to take it in a positive way.
Okay, that's fine and dandy and probably healthy of you. And how is thanking them for being rude, and yet you find something positive? You do the work to find something positive out of what they did, which was rude. How does thanking them help? Thanks for being rude, because I'm a positive person. Thank you.
Well, I'm being gracious, you know?
Yes, for what?
Least they took the time to give some feedback. It was negative feedback, yes, but at least they left some feedback. At least they could have, you know?
Okay.
Woohoo!
Anyway, we do
Mike
appreciate feedback.
With me, but
I mean,
you know what?
What I got out of this feedback was some entertainment value, so thanks for that. And all the other feedback was really great, even if, you know, the one that disagreed with me, it was very well thought out, and you've got a point. So thank you for all the feedback.
Yes, we do appreciate it. And if you want to email us, as we said before, email questions at porktherapy.com.
Or you can call us and record your rants and your rude comments. Or your only positive ones.
Are you inviting rants?
You know what? That might have been even funnier if he called it in.
Oh, that would have been funny. Yes.
You can call us at area code 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Yes. Rants encouraged.
Thanks for
listening. We've got rants in our pants.
Oh, not yet.
Yeah. Anyway, what was I going to say? Thanks for listening. You can hear us on the Liberty Radio Network. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and leave us feedback on our blog.
Or on iTunes.
We will find something good about it. Anyway.
Thanks.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more.